Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, hope you guys had a great weekend. I know I did. Saturday night was Bruce Arians' Family Foundation event at the Hard Rock Casino. And let me tell you, Jason Aldean was playing as part of the show. Started outside by the pool. And I'm going to drop names like I used to, Steve. I'm telling you.
Hold on.
Get them all? Okay, because there's a few here they got to pick up. So, of course, Jason Light was there, the Bucks general manager, and Bruce Arians, who I had not seen probably in about, I don't know, a couple months when I was over at his condo one night on Bayshore. And then we had Todd Bowles showed up. I didn't see any active players. I saw Mike Allstott, and the A-Train was there. And then there was celebs, surprises galore, right? Like, for example, they started the auctioning going on before the concert, which Zach Blobner hosted from 620 WDAE. And one of the items, the early items, was a chair from Hulk Hogan that I guess he might have busted over somebody's head at some point. And then all of a sudden, the Hulkster walks out. I haven't seen him in a minute. I know he's everywhere, but I just hadn't seen him. It was awesome.
Did they play the music? Did he rip his shirt off?
Well, I mean, he probably did. I mean, I don't know. I think they played the music, but I don't know if he went full, like, ripped the shirt off. But he was the, let me tell you, brother, you know, all that stuff. It was really cool. And he brought out a belt. You know, they have these, mm-hmm. I imagine he has a few of those at home. So he had the belt that he brought out. So that was really cool. And then Jason Aldean played. Another thing, my good friend, as you and I both know very well, was in town, Joe Madden.
Yes.
Yeah, that was cool. He was down and his lovely new girlfriend and got a chance to meet her. It was talked a little bit about baseball. He's still, I don't know if he's going to manage again. I mean, that would actually be up to another team and him at some point. But
yeah, I think that takes two to tango on that one.
Yeah, it kind of does. And I also think, and he knows this, is that some of the, you know, he wrote this book with Tom Verducci, which is a terrific writer and a terrific book, but he said some things that might have ticked off some of the clubs around the baseball as far as analytics goes and things like that, and giving the manager more power. But I'm pretty sure
It doesn't seem like baseball GMs give managers much power anymore.
Not anymore. It doesn't seem like, and I'm not breaking news here, that, like, you know, it would have to be for him, and obviously for another team, it would have to be a perfect situation for him, kind of like the old days. He would prefer, but that said, I've never seen him happier, and he spends half his time. He's gonna spend half his time here. He sold his house, on Bayshore, but he's gonna spend half his time here, and then the other half up in the Northeast in Pennsylvania, I think, or there parts about. So, but it was great to see him. Look great, very happy, and it was a great night. They raised a ton of money, and I thought this was. So the bidding on some of these items were outrageous, right? Like Hulk Hogan's chair went for $10,000. I'm sorry, I have never seen a chair that's not in a Buckingham Palace that's worth $10,000, but okay, it's a folding chair, Hulk Hogan. If you're into it, it's charity. You can deduct it, fine. The wildest thing that I saw was, okay, so the story of Arians and, like, how did you get Aldean, right? Like, that's a huge name in what the kids call country music, right? And so it turns out that kind of was paired up, BA, was in the Phoenix Open. First of all, I didn't know there was a Phoenix Open. Is that what they call it these days? Or is that the whole...
Yeah, that's the crazy one out there. The fans go nuts and scream.
Something, yeah.
Yeah, the Waste Management. It was the Waste Management Open.
There you go. Yeah, that was it. Yeah, Waste Management. So he called it the Phoenix Open. It's, you know, it's not the Bob Hope anymore, whatever. But okay, we'll call it the Phoenix Open. So he was paired in a Pro-Am. And he said when he started playing golf, like, he didn't know who the guy was, which probably worked to his advantage, I would think.
Hey, man, win or lose, we booze, baby.
Yes, right. Hey, baby, give me a four on. So they got to talking. And then he had Aldean down to his lake house in Georgia, right? Lake Oconee. And now he liked it so much that he bought a place next door to him. So they're neighbors. So this is how this all came about. So next thing you know, hey, we got a foundation event. Yeah, man, let me play it. I'll play down there for you for free. So needless to say, that was a ticket seller, and he was great. But during the auction, right before he came on, or actually they had another gentleman who writes songs for him that came on first and then him. But right before that, the musical part of the show began. They had one last item up for sale, a game-worn Tom Brady jersey. Now, they didn't say which game.
I was okay. Going to say, which game could matter?
The last game-worn jersey, I think, didn't that sell for like seven figures, I believe? Or if it did sell or it was up? I thought I saw it up.
Like somewhere. I said, is it a Super Bowl jersey? Is it just a regular season game? Was it like the last game, the playoff loss? Was it, you know?
Well, how about if it was the last jersey he ever wore?
That's right? What I mean. If it was that, if it was from that game, like that would be.
Yeah. They didn't say it was, so I'm assuming maybe it wasn't. But I think that last jersey ever worn, I'm pretty sure, went for a ton of money. I'd have to look it up. But that aside, they were talking like, oh, this thing, let me tell you, there was one like this that sold for like $1 million? I don't think it was any jersey, but, you know, it was probably the last one he wore. So anyway, they start the bidding. And I don't know if Aldean thought that somebody would top this or not, what he was thinking. He goes... They started at $200,000. I'm thinking, come on. Do you got to tell me? It better be a Super Bowl jersey, right? That's just my mindset. Mm-hmm. And they didn't denote that it was. And Aldean comes out onto the stage and says, I got $200,000, thinking that that's where the bidding is going to, you know, just they're going to go up from there. Yeah, they didn't go up from there. It's like, it's yours for $200,000, bro.
I thought you were going to be the next bid on that one.
Shoo. My hands were so deep into my pockets at that point, holding onto my wallet. It wasn't even funny. And I kept my wife's hands down as well because I didn't want any nonsense going on with that. But I love to contribute to VA's charity and have and will. But that wasn't going to be the Tom Brady $200,000 jersey. Good God. I just can't imagine, man. But it was, I guess it was game worn. So that adds some value to it. Although must have been a good game for the offensive line because that thing was pretty clean. not like some of the ones I've seen around here, but it was a great night, and they raised a lot of money. Well, $200,000 anyway. But no, some of these items, like it seemed like almost every one, and they had a bunch. They had like one was a cool one, was a sky suite for a Bucks game, and I think there's like 18 seats or 18 tickets for that, and then you get all the food and drink and different things, and parking, and then. And I think I want to say that went over $20,000, which is a BART, which is look, they cost about that much, right? And then they had two bidders, and so they added a suite, so they sold them both, which was really cool. So they both people that were bidding got them. They do such a great job, and of course, it's to benefit the Ad Litem program with children and the different things that. BA's, BA's wife is so involved with, now they're going to have a golf tournament later on. I think they're going to wait until like May or June for that. Cause I mean, this week was Valspar, right? I mean, so, mm-hmm. The same time there's a country music guest over there going on Saturday night. So
yeah, it was Cole Swindell played there on.
That's right. Saturday that's night. Right. Yeah. Cole Swindell, who's very good. So, but yeah, it was nice. Anyway, that was my weekend. And, but now we got, lots to talk about in sports that transpired over the weekend. Before we get to the Lightning, who had an unbelievable road trip, USF, whose season has sadly ended. I feel like Berman, some sad news. USF no longer in the NIT. And then I did want to go back to Friday a little bit, only because this was a significant moment for me. And look, I've covered Levante David. He had his press conference on Friday, and we haven't talked since then. And he signed his one-year contract, which is worth about $9 million, $10 million, I think, if he reaches certain goals or whatnot. And I mean, Levante is the most consistent, like, you know, from in terms of his temperament, his play, extraordinary player. And, you know, at 34 years old, is coming off just a really great year. He was their leading tackler, for God's sakes. And even in his last game, you know, he had the best numbers of anybody on defense. I think he had 13 tackles in that game. So he absolutely balled out. Like, he had a terrific year, 134 tackles, 4.5 sacks. That's the most he's had since 2016. In fact, he was the only player with at least 100 tackles, 15 tackles for loss, and 3-plus sacks. And the 17 tackles, by the way, for loss were the second most by a player age 33 or older. And they, since they've been compiling that data going back to 2008. So anyway, great year. And, you know, he talked about, you know, it just feels like he wants to play his whole career here. He thinks they have a chance to win, obviously, and go to the Super Bowl. And so a lot of things drove him to stay here. But there was a moment at the end of that press conference, and when we were all done talking to him, and he was great talking about everything, he did some TV shots, and then the cameras packed up, and then there was just a few of us beat writers around. And so this is not unusual, because in the previous signings that he has had, and this is like his fourth contract because he did a bunch of one-year deals, but I remember back in, I would have been like 2015, 16, somewhere in there, that was the big contract that he got. And when he did it, he had his mom there, Lynette David, and she died in 2016, so it must have been 2015. She died in 2016. She had complications from diabetes. His dad got to see him, and we saw the chair. She had, you know, I remember her sitting there and talking to him about it, and her as well. And then outside that room, there's a little couch area, and I remember talking to his dad, you know, when he signed another contract, and his dad passed in 2021 from liver disease. He got to see him win a Super Bowl. I mean, unbelievable moment. He's on the field with him. But both his parents are gone. And if you know something about Levante, he was, as he says, he was always a mama's boy. I mean, that's just, I mean, when he went out to, I think, somewhere in Kansas, Fort Smith, Kansas, and that's where JPP and him were playing. And he was out there for like 3 days and wanted to come home. His mom would not let him come home. She goes, "No, you are staying. You're gonna figure this out." And she was very hard on him about it. And, you know, lo and behold, of course, then he ends up in Nebraska and the NFL, and the rest is history. But at the very end, when we were talking to him, you know, he started talking about his parents, and he goes, you know, every time something big comes up, then they're the first two people I think about. It's kind of tough. It's hard, you know, kind of going through this stuff without them, because anybody knows me, knows that, you know, I'm a mama's boy. And he goes, "Yeah, I remember she sat right there." He knew the chair and everything. And he said, you know, that to not have them there, and he started talking about, you know, as a kid, you grow up and you don't really realize the work that your parents put in. And nobody knows how much work, and I'm sure you were like this too, Steve, until you have a kid, you know, then you understand, like, wow, my parents were pretty smart, you know, like they took care of me and my sisters and all that. And you realize the sacrifices they make. Especially as you get older. And he goes, you know, as a kid, I didn't really notice that, but I just, you know, their whole focus for was making sure I was living the life I wanted to live and making me as comfortable as possible. Mm-hmm. And he said, so, you know, when you grow up, you just want to be able to take care of them. And he goes, it's kind of making me a little sad. And he said, he was just over at his parents' house the other day. Now he grew up and played, you know, for Liberty City youth football, like he tough part of Miami. And he goes, you know, I was just there and I thought about the house. And he goes, you know, you just want to make them proud. And I'm sure they're proud. He goes, but for me to see the look on their face, just to get that feeling of satisfaction, and then they're not there. And then he turned, he walked a few steps, and he broke down. He just sobbed. And I thought, what a moment to show who Levante David is and what his heart is, right? Like, here's a guy who has, and of course we all mourn the loss of our parents. If you've lost a loved one or a parent, you know that never really leaves you. You think about them every day and you miss them every day. But at that moment, right, another great moment for him, signing a new deal, you know, playing until he's 34 years old, and his little daughter, who who's adorable, is about 22 months old, and she was running around as well, you know, in the media room. And I just thought, you know, it's that right there, the human side of him, that, you know, the drive and the appreciation for what he has done and why he has done it, right? And how he was able to do it because of the love of his mom and his dad, that the sacrifices they made, that appreciation has never left. And he really gets it. You know, like some players are just iconic in their leadership and their sort of, you know, what they go through every day, why they play. You don't even have to really ask. You just kind of know. But that he showed us a side of vulnerability that I've not seen from him. This is a big, strong, proud, prideful guy. And in a moment, he allowed himself to be very vulnerable in front of a bunch of people that he knows. But nonetheless, you know, he was missing, you know, something. And I don't know. It was just poignant. I wish I could describe it better. But I just think, you know, boy, there, you know, there's a guy who's, you know, on the Ring of Honor the day that he retires, if they want to. And I think, and it's borderline, right? Because I know that room. But as time goes on, longevity will begin to work for him. Even though he doesn't have the Pro Bowls, that wasn't his fault. That was a voting thing. And the fact that for 8 years or seven, 8 years, his team was never in the postseason. And then everybody got an appreciation for him, a real appreciation for him later in his career, like the last 4 years, because they had been in the playoffs. He won a Super Bowl. They saw how great he was against Travis Kelce and everybody else. And then all of a sudden, it was like he was being discovered, but way too late in life. And so, but I think the numbers alone and the longevity that he's, the numbers he's compiling through all this, Steve, I think he's going to have a shot at the Hall of Fame. It'll be a while. It would take a while. You know, it took Rondé eight tries, whatever it was. It would probably take Lavonte longer. But if you see Zach Thomas go in, if you see Luke Kuechly, who will be next to go in, right, of that, Luke didn't play very long, but he's an exceptional, exceptional player. The difference is that some of those guys had a lot of Pro Bowls, some all decades, things like that. Lavonte didn't have those markers, but he's going to have numbers. I think he's only 250, when I say only, I mean, he'd have to play 2 years and have two great years. But I think he's 250 tackles away from the franchise record, which is held by Derrick Brooks, who played even longer than Lavonte. So, I mean, that's some rare air right there.
Yeah, I think Lavonte David's going to be one of those when he retires. Everyone's going to say great career, borderline Hall of Famer, et cetera. But as the years go on after he retires and people look more at the stats and look at what he's done, I think he's going to creep up there. And like you said, he's not going to be a finalist the first year, but he'll keep getting more and more as it goes along. Because when you compare him to Zach Thomas and Luke Kuechly and all this, and now that he's got the Super Bowl, like, he's right there with them. There's really, if you're going to put those guys in, how do you not put Lavonte David in?
And he's got more longevity, which in numbers wise, yep, he's eclipsed them.
Yeah. You know? And we'll see how much longer he plays and how much more his numbers go up.
Right.
I mean, you know, he signed, a 1 year deal this year. Doesn't mean he's done after this year.
No, not at all.
Might be. We'll see.
Yeah. No, not at all. And, you know, Jason Light paid him one of the biggest compliments. He said that he's the poster child literally for us. We have a picture of a silhouette in our draft room that says, "I am that man." It's a person that we want as a player, and it does not show his face, but it is Lavonte. That's the silhouette. He goes, he's the one we look for every year. He's the standard. That's
pretty. So he's Jerry West on the NBA logo is what you're
saying.
He's
the logo. Yeah, he's the logo. That's a great way to put it. And so, you know, he's already played the most games just shy of Rondé Barber, who has 241, and Derrick Brooks, who played 224. He's at 181. Now, he won't catch Rondé, I don't think, but Derrick probably not either. We'll see. But that, man, that's a hell of a lot of games for one team. And he's been fortunate. He knows it. You know, God's grace has not caused him to have a serious knee injury or shoulder injury or, you know, anything else, neck or any of that. So he's been lucky that way. But he works at it, and he's changed his habits, his eating, knows what days to take off, gets his rest, all of that stuff. Just a great guy and a very, very thoughtful dude as well. So that was kind of cool.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Let's see. I hate to say this, but the ride is over for the USF Bulls, right?
It is. They fall to VCU in the second round of the NIT at the Yuengling Center Sunday night.
Ouch, babe. Ouch. I guess the tournament committee got it right.
I don't know.
No, they got it wrong. I'm sorry, they got it wrong. The NIT tournament, that is. No, that's shade. I shouldn't do that.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's. I mean, I saw some pretty bad teams in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah,
like, I know. Like Virginia's first round game. Ooh.
Yeah, they didn't deserve it. And let's be honest, when you get to the NIT, I know these guys, they wanted to win. I think USF was committed. Maybe VCU should have been in the tournament too.
Well, VCU was the first year coach there, up and coming team, a younger team, you know, improving. They it's the same type deal as USF, growing program, wanting to show what they've got and build on this for next year. So it was a good game Sunday night.
No, I'm sure it was. I didn't get a chance to watch, and I'm sorry for that. It's like the first one of their tournament going back to even, well, I watched the last four regular season games and then mm-hmm. their tournament in the conference tournament and then their first round game, but I did miss this one. So I don't know how they played, but listen, 25 wins, you'll take that. First year coach, are you kidding me?
You know, first time ever winning a regular season conference championship.
Right. Most wins in team history, yep, right?
All-time records of 25. Like, yeah. There is so much good on this team. So much.
That's insane.
So much to build off of. So much in just 1 year, one coach helped turn that around. Like, and, you know, and I love hearing Abdur-Rahim talk about his team. I love the way he, you know, it's all about the kids. And, you know, I love him as a coach. I think he's fantastic. I think, you know, USF has found a great one.
Can they hang on to him, do you think, Steve?
I mean, long-term, odds would say no, but do I think he's going anywhere this year? I hope not.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there's still some big jobs open, so we know Dusty May from FAU just went to Michigan.
That's huge. That's a huge hire.
But yeah. Louisville's got a job opening, and there's others, so we'll see.
Right. Well, and listen, any AD worth his salt would be remiss not to call this guy.
Absolutely. I mean, just
flat out. Like, if you want to know who's did the best job in college basketball and who had the best, biggest turnaround, obviously he can identify talent, but more than that, he can coach it. And, you know, for them to do what they did is stupid. And you got to give a lot of credit, I mean, to USF. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, you look at, you know, Alex Golish and, I mean, you know, some smart hires, obviously, and just a magical season for him. Now, do I think it's going to be easy for them to duplicate it next year? I don't. Because
it's never easy, but
yeah, I mean, they're trending the right way.
That, I mean, a lot of these guys can come back. I mean, you've got the transfer portal and that, so we'll, you know, you're never sure what's going to happen.
They could add some people,
you know, but it sure seems like the way these kids respond and love playing for Abdur-Rahim.
Yeah.
I don't anticipate a ton of people leaving if he's still here.
Right.
Where he's got a chance to run this back and do bigger things next year. Because a lot of this group will be back. I mean, it's the future's very bright as long as he's here, which also allows him to be very picky in which job he may take if he wants to take another one.
Right. Right. Yeah, he knows he can have success. And that's, you know, if they add the right pieces. And the other thing is, like, and he said, you know, I didn't have any say over the schedule, but they certainly, with a couple more, with a few more opponents that are more highly ranked, they would have been in the NCAA. So, but for that, now next year, maybe they can get some of those on their schedule and have a better ranking. But, you know, but yeah, unbelievable year. And it's, and those, the atmosphere too, I think what's cool is when, the first time you start to win, I don't care what sport you're talking about, and it becomes the thing to do. USF basketball became the thing to do in the last 6 weeks or so, right?
Well, USF sports this year. I mean, add football to that mix too.
Sure.
With Alex Golish. I mean, what's going on there on campus on Fowler Avenue has been fantastic.
Yeah. No, it really has.
And you're building momentum towards a new stadium. You know, football stadium there that, you know, this is all good things. And, you know, I know everyone's worried about your coaches leaving, and it's a, in today's age, it's very possible. You're not a Power Five school.
Yeah.
So it is possible, but that is a good problem to have. I mean, you don't want a program successful. Where no one wants your coach.
No, absolutely. You're successful.
Like, you know, I don't won't call it champagne problems as we've talked about.
Kind of is.
But when you're a non-Power Five school, you want your coaches to do so well that they're desired elsewhere.
No doubt.
Like, that's a good problem to have.
Yeah, no, it really is.
You know, because the other option is what's been here for several years.
Which is not good at all.
You know, Brian Gregory and Jeff Scott.
Right.
Nobody was calling them looking for, you know, to hire them.
Right.
You know, so I know fans worry about it, and it's a real concern. And for Michael Kelly, I know he said he's working on new contracts for both of them. Mm-hmm. And they both have signed longer-term deals, but we're looking at extending them and probably more money and everything else with it.
But those new contracts, correct me if I'm wrong, they can be broken, right?
Well, absolutely. There's always, but you know, with that new contract, you usually put a bigger buyout in there too.
A higher buyout, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So at least if your coach leaves, you've got some more resources coming in to help hire the next coach.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, but that's an AD's job is to, okay, you know, you want a program where until you can get to a Power Five, which is where you're hoping to get to, or Power Four, whatever it is now, the Pac 12 is two, but.
Right.
But until you get there, like you want that problem of people are coming after your coaches, and then you've got to have that pipeline of, you know, I already know who the next guys I want to talk to are. Like that's your job. That's what you need to have happen. I mean, your ADs are doing that regardless. I mean, the ADs at the big schools are doing that.
Look, he found this guy at Kennesaw State.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's other coaches out there. That's the one thing I've I'm not looking to run this guy off. He's phenomenal. I hope they keep him for 20 years.
Absolutely.
But the one thing, and this is true, I think, of all sports, and I hear this a lot, like people will go, well, who are they going to get? Right? Like, you know, especially like if a coach leaves or you never want a coach to leave, or if a coach loses and you go, well, they're not going to do any better than this guy, who would they get? There is always, that's your job, right? Mm-hmm. Your job is to identify those guys and always have that list so that if there's a change, you know who A, B, C, and D is, right? Like you identify those guys like they did and you go get them. And there's always going to be a guy that's ready. There's always, you just got to get the right guy. And so.
Look, you never know why you might have to make a change.
Exactly.
Maybe it's another program poached your coach because you did really well, or maybe your coach did so bad you had to fire him.
Yeah, it could be health related. There's a lot of things.
But either way, I mean, a manager's job, and whether it's an athletic director or you're in business or, you know, when I ran radio stations, you know, whenever I took over a new station, my biggest concern early on was who are my plan Bs if the people on the air now, something happens, doesn't work, whatever. Like, because when you come to a new market, you don't know.
So you got to identify those people. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, and you don't tell anybody that.
Right.
You know, but you've got to figure out. And plan B doesn't mean that's who you're hiring if something happens.
Yeah.
But it's I got someone to at least start with or consider or short term or whatever. You know, that and then, you know, in AD, it's no different in that regard. You know, Michael Kelly's got short lists for every sport of his, I'm sure.
Is that list in a drawer with a lock or key? Like, can I find that? Or is it, like, in your phone?
I guess every, you know, it depends on, you know.
That's gold, man.
Can I hack the iCloud account and find that list? On?
Yeah, I want to see that list, man.
You know, but that's, you have to have that as a manager because you never know what tomorrow is going to hold.
No, that's your job. You're supposed to be forward thinking and you have to anticipate. You know,
a manager in any business. I mean,
yeah, no, that's true.
You know, you have to be like, okay, if this person quits tomorrow.
Yeah. What especially if things are going well, right? Like, you know, because that's when you're going to lose people is when you have success.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
So he's done a great job. I mean, it was a great year and it's great. It's great to just, you know, you're talking college basketball in Tampa at USF.
Well, and with to a see full sellouts at the Yuengling Center. For the first time since atmosphere. Early 2000s.
It's amazing, and it was such a big time college atmosphere, like such an enthusiastic crowd, and they really did, you know, capture the imagination of this area for basketball, for college basketball, big time college basketball, which is so cool. And it's a sport. Look, we don't have an NBA team. I know they're up the road in Orlando and they're very, very good. But there's obviously, you know, an audience for it here, and especially college basketball. So good for them for tapping into that. That's hard to do. It's hard to create that sort of passion and be so good. And they did it with a bunch of wins in a row until they got to the last regular season game. They had a special year. They really did. Speaking of special years, we'll get to baseball, which is coming up next week. But how about the Tampa Bay Lightning on this run that they're on, this point streak? What a road trip. I mean, you always talk to me, Steve, about like, well, you want 1 point for every game you play on the road.
On a road trip, you want the number of games. So this road trip was 5.
Okay.
You want one more point than that. So 6 points.
One more.
So 3 wins or 2 wins and 2 overtime losses, you know, if, however you get to 6. I mean, multiple ways to get there.
Yeah.
The Lightning pulled out 9.
That's incredible.
And in the game that they only got the point Saturday night against the Kings, they were down by 2 goals in the third period.
Oh yeah, they earned that point. They got it into overtime and earned it. Yeah.
And came back to send that to OT, and then they lost it in OT, but
right.
But 9, they've pointed in 7 straight games. With now they're in the first wild card spot. I believe they're 6 points up on Washington, who's the second wild card. With the Lightning have 11 games to play. Washington does have a game in hand on them, but
yeah.
And so, but really, you're looking at Detroit. So you're 7 points up on Detroit, who's the first team out of the playoffs with the same number of games to play. So 11 games to play, and you're 7 points up on Detroit.
Yeah.
Which means if you can just get 11 points out of the 11 games, take half the points.
A point a game, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Detroit would have to get 18 points to catch you.
Oof.
Out of 22 possible.
That's tough, yeah.
Like that, this is where the math starts to get hard.
Yeah,
for teams when you're trailing. Now Detroit can get to the first wild card easier than that, but you know the math starts to get hard for these teams. You know, for instance, the Lightning are at 95 points or 85 points right now. Like Buffalo, who's a few positions back, can only get to 93 points on the season
total. Yeah,
you know, so 9 points and you've 9 points out of 11 games, and you've already, they can't catch you. New Jersey can only get to 94. The Islanders can only get to 97.
Mm.
You know, so the Lightning only need 12 points to match the best the Islanders can do if they win out.
Now, was there some concern, you know, when they played the Ducks, they were without two of their big guys, including Braden Point.
Which makes that win even more impressive. No Braden Point, no Victor Hedman, both out with lower body injuries day to day.
Mm.
Lower body injuries day to day. I mean, I look at it this way. I don't know what's wrong, but you didn't notice anything in the LA game Saturday night. They didn't play Sunday night in a back-to-back. You have 2 days off before Boston comes to town Wednesday. And you have another 2 days off before you play the Islanders Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
You're 3-4 weeks from the playoffs. Like my hunch is, and pure a hunch, that if this was a playoff game, they probably could have gone. But you're a little banged up. Your team's on a roll. You got this week, you basically have one game until you get to next Saturday at this point. So if you need to rest those guys for a game, okay. Not ideal to both on the same day. But they're listed as day to day. So, you know, this is a good time to get them rest if they were banged up in that game.
Right.
So we'll see. I mean, the Lightning have today off, scheduled for a practice Tuesday. So maybe we get an update then. And then, like I said, they play Boston on Wednesday. So,
and they were playing with house money. They had already had a good road trip, regardless of whatever the outcome was going to be against Anaheim. So if you're going to get guys off their feet,
yep,
so to speak, now that would have been the game to do it in. And like to your point, they don't play again until next week.
Mm-hmm. It's still a light schedule this week. I mean, they're flying home today. They stayed over in Anaheim last night, so they're flying home today.
Right.
But then they'll play again Wednesday and then again Saturday. So.
Yeah,
they have. And by the way, there are 11 games left. 7 of those are at home.
That's fantastic. The schedule really did flip around in their favor, both with the days off and the home games. I think it's been.
Yep.
And this was a gauntlet of a road trip coming on the heels of playing 3 really good teams at home, which they managed to win. Their longest winning streak was snapped with the overtime loss, but your point, they still got a point. So that's what you're trying to do this time of year, is just get as many points as you can.
And something crazy happened on Sunday night. I would have never guessed. Braden Point didn't play, lower body injuries we discussed.
Yeah.
His spot on the power play in the second period, Austin Watson.
Austin Watson?
I did not have him in the bumper spot on my bingo card for the game tonight.
He's sitting in the middle there where Cooch just shoves it to him in the bumper area. Right?
And just as everyone on Twitter and everything was going, Austin Watson on the power play, a minute later, he assisted on a goal. So
there you go.
Not on the power play, but after the power play happened.
Yeah.
As Luke Glendening got another goal. So.
Yeah, so Luke Glendening and Austin
Anthony
Watson.
Duclair, 7 straight games with a point for the Lightning.
Guy's a machine, by the way.
He joined the team. He's been incredible.
It's amazing. Yep. And he's added so much to them.
He has. A lot of speed. I think he's added some personality, too.
Play on that first line, and they want him to.
Yep. Although, tonight he actually came off there because they shuffled the line. So it was actually Cirelli, Hagel with Cooch.
Yeah.
And then, so they shuffled the lines with Point out, but... Yeah, it's been a huge addition.
Cooch didn't have any points, though, right?
He did not. His 13 or 12 game point streak snapped.
Where is he in the for the league lead now?
Well, Nathan MacKinnon had 3 points Sunday, so he's 1 point up on MacKinnon.
Oh.
And McDavid's not far behind either. He's been munching points big time.
It's
going to come down
exciting.
To the end.
Yeah, really is going to come down right to the end. And I don't know that you just automatically win it if you win the points title, but it certainly helps.
I think the only chance Cooch has at the MVP is if he gets the points total.
Yeah.
I don't think he can get the MVP without. I think others can. He can't.
But it's not a lock that if he even wins the points title,
correct,
that he'll be the MVP.
Correct.
But he's probably a lock he won't be if he doesn't. Yeah.
I think so. I just don't think the voter. I mean, he'll get votes and he'll place there. But, between MacKinnon, Matthews, and McDavid and Kucherov.
Right.
Those will be the top four. Pick your order. But if Cooch doesn't win the points title, he's got no shot to take first.
Yeah. Well, heck, man, we're just a few days away from opening day, the Tampa Bay Rays.
Yeah,
there's
3 days.
Big, that's it. We're a big, big section. Check it out, the Tampa Bay Times, TampaBay.com. But in the Tampa Bay Times, your Tampa Bay Rays special section, which Mark Tompkin and John Romano, a bunch of guys did a great work on that,
as they
do every year, talking about the Rays way. And just exactly what that means and how it was arrived at. There's a kind of a prescient moment with Eduardo Perez, of all people, going back that far, where he realized things may be a-changing with the new ownership. It's a great anecdote. I won't spoil it for you, but check it out. It's a really good story. They've got some hurting guys, though, on this baseball team to start the season, though. I mean, there's some dudes, they're going to get better as they get some of these guys back. But to start the season, at least, they got some guys down.
But it's going to give some young guys some opportunities. So
absolutely.
And see what they can do. I still think their biggest issue is, can the starting pitching hold up? You and I think, both agree on that.
Yep, no question.
But we'll talk to Mark Tompkin on Thursday about that.
I can't wait. That's always a great show. Mark Tompkin, opening day. What more can he ask for? But, yeah, they've had some guys show up. I mean, Richie Palacios has been – pretty good. He's shown some power and earned one of the spots. And then they have this reliever, Manuel Rodriguez, that's going to start in AAA, but he threw a lot of hard strikes. Ahmad Rosario looks like a bargain at this point.
Mm-hmm.
The way he's been able to handle playing right field, second base, he's added some veteran presence as well, as Mark Tompkin writes. And then so a lot of guys look that, you're going to miss some of the guys that are out right now, but they still have, top players coming back that are healthy, like Yandy Diaz, Brandon Lau, Randy Arozarena, Isak Paredes, Jose Siri, Harold Ramirez. Like that's the real depth of your lineup, the meat of your lineup. They had 134 home runs and 451 RBIs. So, yeah, if you can get a little bit of starting pitching, I think the bullpen's the strength of their pitching this year. They should be just fine. And they're opening up against the Toronto Blue Jays, right? Is that who they start with?
That's correct. 4-game series. Thursday, 4:10, I believe.
And how about this? I will be at the Rays game, which is opening day in Colorado next week.
Oh, very nice.
I'll get to see them at Coors Field. So that'll be cool. picturesque.
Yeah, they're opening there. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, so it's the opening day for the Rockies, which may not be a ton of excitement in Denver for that. The Rockies, I didn't realize this, they only won 58 games last year.
Yeah, not good.
Woof.
Not
and,
good.
They've not had a winning record, I think I saw, since like 2019. So it's been a minute. Not a good baseball team, but that's okay. It'd be fun to sit out there and see that ballpark. And, of course, just snowing there, which I'm glad about because I may do a little skiing while I'm out there up in the winterlands. But, yeah, so the Rays will be headed west pretty soon after their home opener there.
Yeah, they get the Toronto and Texas at home, and then they go on the road.
Yeah, tough. Two tough teams to start out with, too.
Yes,
by the
it
way.
Is.
I mean, you know, obviously with Texas and what happened last year. So anyway, all right, well, we got plenty going on this week. I'm going to be at the NFL owners meetings starting today. That is in Orlando, not too far from here in Tampa. I'll stay over one night. Tuesday morning, Todd Bowles will speak. We'll also get a chance to talk to Jason Light, and maybe don't want to make any promises, but I think it might happen. Maybe have a chance to talk with Brian Glazer of the Tampa Bay Bucks. We used to do that every year at around this time
that's
at
right,
the owners meetings. Yeah, and get a little update. That's another guy I saw. I want to drop names. I talked a long time with Brian Lizzie.
Hold on.
Yep, that's a big one. That's a heavy one. You got that? Need a little help? Yeah, that one's big. But it was great to see him. And then there's some changes to the kickoff rules and some stuff like that. They're talking about the tackling. Taking away some of the hip drops and whatnot, so there'll be some discussion about the rules that might be changed somewhat. So we'll talk about all of that this week. Keep it on in the Tampa Bay Times on TampaBay.com for all your latest news as far as that goes. Free agency looks to be kind of quieting down now, but we still got a couple of players that they could extend: Antoine Winfield Jr., Tristan Wirfs. There's still work being done on that front, and you just never know. So appreciate you guys listening as always. For Steve Burstink, I'm Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times. Have a great day, everybody.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.